your girl Santa Star, coming to you with another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman, the official podcast of the Easy Breezy Life community. Before we get into today's topic, the Easy Breezy Life is a community of strong-willed women who are out here trying to live their best life for Jesus. We encourage you to always seek professional advice for anything that we share on here if something really triggers you, because after all, the Easy Breezy Life is intended for education and entertainment purposes only. And I, as your founder, wholeheartedly believe that this life is meant to be a group project. Somewhere out there is a tribe for you that is going to help you soar in your life, and God never intended for us to do this alone. So get help when you need it. Be strong enough and smart enough to receive it. I will be right back with a brief message, and then we'll get into today's topic, which is love is not envious. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. And we are back. So, today, again, we are in part 4 of our series of Love Is, where we are breaking down the Corinthians verse that talks about what love is. And if you are just tuning in to this series for the first time, the first episode featured my little niece, the amazing Ava, who, just like a babe in Christ, was giving us her definition of love, what it looks like, and how she tries to mirror it in her life with her siblings and the people around her. Then we talked about love being patient and it being kind. And today we're going to talk about love is not envious. This one is rough. This one is so rough for me because I feel like I just came out of a season where in many ways my family became victims of envy, victims of strife, in ways that I, because it wasn't an emotion that I nursed in my heart, I didn't understand how others could nurse it in their hearts. And so as I talk about this, it really is something that's personal for me, because I've realized that there are some communities where envy and jealousy abound. And I'm just kind of in a place where I want to pull myself away from those environments, but I also want to be careful to not judge people who partake in this particular thing. Because, you know, one of the things that I'm realizing is that the moments that we decide to judge someone in a particular area or a fault, it is almost as if we are inviting that spirit into our own life and into our own heart. So forgiveness is really key. And in many ways, it's a selfish act, because in you choosing to forgive someone for something they did wrong, number one, you secure your forgiveness with Christ. But number two, you tell that spirit that you have overcome it, because it cannot find offense in you. Because remember, offense is a bait of Satan. It is a way that the enemy tries to distract us from our God-given potential and our destiny. So without further ado, we're going to pull apart love is not envious. So let's do definitions, because I like to make sure that we all looking at it the same way. Because let me tell you, I've learned a lot of us say a lot of things and don't mean the same thing. So I want to make sure that we have a shared definition of what envy and jealousy and covetousness and all of the above mean to me, right? Or in this community. So according to the dictionary, envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck, right? So we can be envious of what people own. We can be envious of their traits. We can be envious of just their luck, or what I call grace, right? The grace that God gives them. The next thing is jealousy. Jealousy is the feeling or showing envy of someone or their achievements and advantages. We're also going to look at to what it means to covet, and it is to yearn to possess or have something. So let's break it down, because these all like seem very similar and close, and I'm going to do my best, right? Because I'm also not an envy scholar, but we're going to pick it apart as best as I can. When I think about envy, envy is to have a deep resentment because somebody else either has a quality, has a certain level of grace, and has a certain level of possessions or whatever it is that thing is. Now, the unfortunate part about envy is that it can look like or begin an admiration. But sometimes we admire people so much that it goes from simply admiring them to wanting to wear them like last year's Prada. There is a very fine line with admiration and envy. And I think one of the things that I always try to do, like when I admire my mentors, is I still try to keep a respectful distance, right? Because I want to be able to honor them and appreciate them and also learn from them. And so one of the ways that I also guard myself, right, from this emotion of envy is to always remember that we all have different grace, different abilities, different skills, different talents, and that if we give our talents to God, he will use us. He is not a respecter of persons, right? So for example, in the Bible, we have the story of Cain and Abel, where essentially Cain kills Abel because Abel's sacrifice was respected by God, right? And so God is like, hey, why are you hating on your brother so much? Why don't you do what I'm asking you to do so that you can get what you want? But Cain just couldn't have that. He just could not keep his eyes off of Abel's blessing, and it ended up in Abel being killed. So all that tells me is that envy is a very powerful emotion and that we must guard ourselves from it. And when we see it in others, we must guard ourselves from them. Mm-hmm. So let's look at other examples of jealousy and envy in the Bible. The story of Joseph and his brothers, where he had all these wonderful dreams, and because of his innocence, he shared his dreams with his brothers, and those brothers became jealous and put him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Praise the Lord that they didn't kill him like they initially wanted to. But long story short, as a result of being sold into slavery, he ends up being at Potiphar's house, going to jail. But at the end, it all ends up in him being in the palace when this famine comes and God using Joseph to save all of Israel. Isn't that awesome? I bet if those brothers knew that they're putting Joseph in a pit would result in him becoming second in command in Egypt, they might have just let him be out there playing with the bushels and having dreams. But the truth of the matter is, I think what I'm seeing here is that even when we think that we have been victims of envy and jealousy, when we are children of the Most High God and are sincerely seeking him, God will always use it to elevate us. But I think what's also interesting about the character of Joseph is that he did not allow that experience with jealousy and envy to sow bitterness and vengeance into his heart. Let's look at another character. What about Saul and David? When David was so popping that initially Saul was on his team, but when he started outshining him, Saul became David's number one enemy, pursuing him until it led to his own death. That also tells me that when our enemies, or those who are jealous or envious of us, refuse to let us go, when they want to become Pharaoh in our life, the Lord will answer them, and it will not be good. But I also want to reflect on David's character, that no matter how much Saul tried to come for him, no matter how much Saul tried to kill him, he refused to dishonor him and refused to dishonor God. When I'm looking in battling envy and jealousy, I think what is so powerful here is how being an honorable person, a forgiving person, a person who does not hold jealousy and envy or malice and bitterness in their heart, just, it's like a floating device. Like releasing those things just causes you to float and level up, which is amazing. But how else does envy manifest itself, right? It's one of the things that the Bible says is a representative of your former life before Christ. Former life before Christ, saying that before we came into Christ, we practiced envy and strife and were barred from the kingdom of heaven. But then when God calls us in, when we accept Christ, he expects us to put those down with all of that malice, with all of those behaviors, and to walk into his truth, to walk into his kindness, to walk into his peace so that we can inherit his kingdom. Another interesting scripture about envy is in Proverbs 14:30, where it says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Ooh, child, I don't know about y'all, but your girl ain't got time for rotten bones in 2020. I know there is something going on out there right now, but what I don't have time for in 2020 is rotten bones, because I'm trying to run this race with grace, and you can't do that with no rotten bones. So that tells me that envy could possibly have actual impacts on our physical health in some way. You know how they say a lot of the illnesses and diseases we have are through emotional and stress and trauma. So that unreleased emotion of envy can have an impact on our physical health. But the book of James also has a lot to say about behaviors that go hand in hand with envy. So I'm just going to read and just kind of try to paraphrase James 3:13 through 18, and then we'll break it down. "But the wisdom from above is pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, courteous and considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen, full of compassion and good fruits. It is unwavering, without self-righteous hypocrisy and self-serving guile." It also says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't be arrogant about it, boasting about how you're popping. And then as a result, be in defiance of the truth, because this is superficial wisdom, not wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly and secular, natural and unspiritual, even demonic." That's heavy, y'all. That's heavy, because bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, thinking that we're more popping than we are, to God can go all the way down to not just being earthly and worldly, but even demonic. If that's the case, then I could fully understand how envy and jealousy could lead us to death, or to lead to really terrible things happening when we're in environments that are full of jealousy and envy. The other thing that I noticed in the Bible is that when we nurse feelings of jealousy and envy, and God is trying to correct us and we choose to not be corrected, He will eventually give us over. Eventually give us over. It says it in Romans. This is the book of Romans. Okay, this ain't Old Testament. This ain't the book of Leviticus. This ain't Exodus. This ain't Deuteronomy. This is Romans AD. It says, "God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive. They were slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil." Like every day they had a new trick about how they could turn more tricks to be evil. "Disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful." They had no pity. So how do you know that somebody has been fully surrendered to the emotion of jealousy and envy, and God is like, "Hey, you don't want to hear me? I'm going to let life teach you"? When you start to see those traits in their life. Very slippery slope, very scary, right? And so for me, when I look at these emotions of jealousy and envy, how do they get in the way of our love walk? How can you love somebody if you're so busy being jealous and hating on them? How can you show God and Christ to others when you're harboring these kinds of emotions in your heart? And how can you draw others in to want to be in community with you when jealousy and envy are sprinkled all over your life in the way that you manage your relationships? Like, I have literally met people who think that people are jealous of them all the time. And these will be like regular folk. They're not Mark Zuckerberg or Oprah. Because first of all, you never hear Mark Zuckerberg or Oprah putting out a post about how people are hating on them. They just know that it comes with the territory. Like, they are so great, they just expect to be hated on. That's why they have lawyers that they pay millions of dollars to protect their wealth. But I find that when people spend an inanimate amount of time focused on who might be hating on them, who might be jealous of them, who might want what they want, who might be watching over their shoulder, they're nursing something. Either it's a wound that has not been healed, that's become a problem, or maybe they're the one with the problem, projecting it onto other people. So it's very important that when we see ourselves thinking that everyone wants something from us, and not being able to openly receive people and make educated judgments when we see that they might have some challenges, that we might be struggling in this particular area. We got to be very careful, right? Because as we see, it opens up the door to many other things. It is a small thing that opens up the door for our minds to get twisted, our hearts to be twisted, our thinking to be distorted, and our decisions to begin to make us look like something other than we are in Christ. But I think what is also interesting about the Bible is that God gives us a promise. He gives us a promise that if in Psalm 37, that if we commit our way to the Lord, if we trust in Him, then God will act. He will bring forth our righteousness as the light and bring justice as the noonday, that we should be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, to fret not over the ones who prosper in their way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So in here, God is saying, I don't want you to just not be jealous of people who are doing well. I don't want you to not be jealous of people who are doing evil things and look like they're prospering, right? And it also says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends to only evil. For evildoers will be cut off. For those who don't like that I say the word cut off, the Bible says cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. When we are jealous or envious of others, what we're telling God is that we do not trust Him to bring us into the land that He has promised us. It may not look like a faithless act, but it is. Because if we're in faith, then we know that what is for us is coming to us in due season. And we have absolutely no reason to be watchful or jealous of what God is doing in the life of others. I'll give you an example. My husband and I struggled with infertility for years, but never in those years of waiting did I look at other people who were having children and be like, why are they having kids and not me? What does my womb have to do with their womb? What does my battle have to do with their battle? What does my struggle have to do with their struggle? And quite frankly, before having my son, you know, I was just kind of like focused on being the best auntie in America. But sometimes when we're in these environments where we glorify certain things, and I just observed, particularly for me, marrying into Nigerian culture, I'm just going to keep it real. People have this inadamant fixation with marriage and children that I just don't understand, because for me, when I was living single for 10 years, I saw marriage and children as responsibility. And let me tell you, on the other side, it's a whole lot of work. And so for me to be in this culture where people were so jealous and envious of people who seem to be married and have children did not make sense to me, because, again, being raised in American culture, I saw those things as, this ain't gonna be good, but, you know, Lord, forgive me. I saw them as like, these are more liabilities. They're good things, but all good things come with a certain level of liability. You want a promotion, that promotion is going to come with liability. You want to start a business, it's going to come with certain levels of liability. And so I think my mind has always been different in this particular arena. And so that's what shielded me from it. But I, again, didn't realize that I was in a different kind of environment and had to conduct myself differently. But long story short, in spite of all my husband and I have gone through, there is not a doubt in my mind that one, God is going to deliver us, that two, He's got a land that He's bringing us into, and that three, what is mine and mine and can never, ever, ever be taken to me, no matter how blessed the next person is. And so that's the message today. God wants us all to be blessed. Our seasons are different. Don't compare your season to anybody else. And most certainly do not nurse a spirit of envy or jealousy, because it leads you to a deep, deep, dark path. And that is not the way of love. That is all for this week. I wish you peace and blessings. God bless you. Stay healthy. Stay inside. Maybe take a walk, but don't be, social distancing, please. And we will see you next week here at the Easy Breezy Life.